an honor to have a good friend of the show back once again, John Neighbors. Of course, you know him from Inside Arkansas and the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. Also, the president of the Eli Drinkwitz Fan Club. John, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. It's going good. Yeah, yeah. President of the fan club. I don't know. He might be a the president of my fan club. I'd love to know how many other coaches mentioned a local media member from another school by name in SEC Media Day. So whatever it takes, man, at least I'm on his mind for some weird reason. But appreciate it, man. It's always good to talk with you.
Yeah, I can confirm that has literally never happened other than that one time. So shout out. That's how you know you're doing a hell of a job. And speaking of doing a hell of a job, I saw you got a little bit of blowback recently. So I got to ask you, you know, what was the exact comments, but something to the effect of if Arkansas goes 6-6, Sam Pittman will likely be brought back. Can you explain your thought process there?
Well, I'd say when you said, saw some comments that got blowback, I was like, well, which day? I mean, it feels like it's every day that I have something like that happen. No, what it was is I was on with TexAgs and they were just doing some recapping of spring and everything. And the point I was making was that Arkansas's schedule is so difficult and Arkansas's roster on paper looks like it's not as good overall as a year ago, that if Sam Pittman goes 6-6 this year, which would match Arkansas's record from a year ago, then he needs to be praised and needs to be commended for that. And I've used the term of just saying bring him back another year because it would show just how miraculous that would be. I don't believe that if he goes 6-6 again that he should be brought back. I am just saying that it would be that incredible of a feat to pull that off given the circumstances. So, you know, it's one thing to go into, and this is kind of what I explained, is like not all 6-6 records are created equal. You know, it's one thing if you go 6-6, but you beat a Notre Dame or you beat a Texas on the road or something like that. But then if you go 6-6 and your best win of the year is beating Auburn at home, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing. So yeah, it was more of just me portraying that not only with the team, but also, and especially with the schedule, it's just going to be extremely difficult for Arkansas to match the record, what they did a year ago.
Yeah. And maybe a perfect example, there's one program that we keep highlighting this offseason is Florida. And heck, they just went 7-5. I know that's a little bit different than your 6-6 example, but I realize they won the bowl game to make it even look better at 8-5. But man, people are looking at that program like a program on the rise. And it's in large part due to, you know, the gauntlet they had to go through, where at Florida, the standard is not 7-5. And at Arkansas, the standard is not 6-6. But there's a way to spin it to where that could be one heck of a year.
Yeah, and I don't think Arkansas could really spin it any other way than saying it's a heck of a year. Because again, just considering the circumstances, but it's a matter of timing and it's a matter of place. I mean, Arkansas, you know, past 3 years, I guess, two out of the last 3 years, they've gone 6-6. And then the other year they didn't, they went 4-8. And so if you had to go 6-6 again, I mean, how many coaches in major college football entering into their, I guess that would be Sam Pittman's fourth, fifth, and sixth year, are going to keep their jobs because, well, you know, they went 6-6 three out of 4 years and then 4-8 the other year. Like, that's not inspiring hope. That's not inspiring people to be energized and believe in the future of the program. So it would be in its own right a solid year, but it's still not going to make anybody feel better about the future or anything like that. I just feel like it's set up to be one of those years to where if Sam Pittman finds a way, gets it done, if he goes like 7-5 or 8-4, which, geez, if he does that, he got to be coach of the year, then absolutely you keep him and absolutely you feel good about it. But 6-6 seasons shouldn't make anybody feel good, especially when you're entering in your sixth year and you've had so many 6-6 seasons already.
Yeah. Well, Sam Pittman has made this remark many times, John, where, you know, we got the collective bargaining coming in. And there, you know, you're hopeful that that'll kind of make it a little bit more competitive, with Arkansas seemingly having, you know, I don't know the full numbers, but around $20 million to spend on athletics. And we assume in the Southeastern Conference, most of that is going to go to the football program all up for every team. But is that something that fans are hoping as well? But then again, I don't know if you saw this. I just retweeted it. Kirk Bowles, who covers Texas, he said, well, God, Texas, their roster is apparently 45 to 50 million. So, I mean, when I see that, I get depressed. If I'm sitting here hoping that 20 million is going to make it more competitive for an Arkansas program.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's a matter of if you are someone who sees that, if you're a Razorback fan, it's like, okay, well, one, almost everybody's going to have something similar. So it's not like it's giving you specifically as a school a competitive advantage. Like having John Tyson in the Razorback basketball program is an advantage. That's an advantage. But just the one that everybody's going to have, it's hard to really believe in that. But also, too, it's hard to believe that even if you had that money to spend on players, that if under Sam Pittman, that they would just be championship caliber or so much better or so much more improved. I don't think Sam Pittman is a god-awful coach. Trust me, I've seen one. It was Chad Morris. That's a god-awful coach. But Pittman has definitely, you know, given the circumstances, walked into Arkansas, made them at least respectable. But I feel like we've seen the best already of Sam Pittman. So if you're going to give him that money, like, who's going to believe that he's going to utilize that money into getting in the big-time talent? Because I'm sure you know this, but Arkansas over the past two seasons have had more exits from the transfer portal than any other program in the SEC. 2 years ago, you could have dealt with most of them leaving. But this past year, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you try to convince yourself. You lost highly talented, must-have type of caliber players to other SEC schools especially. So even if you do have that money, who's to say that they're going to stay? Who's to say that it's going to work out? Who's to say that they're going to be their best under Pittman? And who's to say you're going to get those big-time players, because you couldn't even keep the big-time players this past season? So it doesn't change anything for anybody. It's just a matter of, do they believe Sam Pittman is a good coach or not? That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. And I think he is obviously best suited to be a CEO type. And when Arkansas had their most success under him, at least, Barry Odom, of course, defensive coordinator. Kendall Briles, an offensive coordinator. What do you think of the current crop of coordinators? Because I think if you pair Bobby Petrino and Travis Williams, that's one of the best coordinator duos in the entire conference, in my opinion. Now the results may not have fully shown itself, because I think Arkansas has been lacking in overall talent, but I don't think that's a fault of the coordinators. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's the one thing, or there's a few things actually, that Sam Pittman's done really well. And I know people just think that I criticize Sam Pittman all the time, and it's not true. It's just, I try to be very, you know, one way or the other, like kind of how I feel about it. But Pittman's done a really good job of hiring coordinators. He's made one major mistake though, and that was hiring Dan Enos. That was a mistake. And that was a mistake more so about adhering to the talent that he currently had the roster trying to fit with that. It didn't work out. But Bobby Petrino, no doubt, is still, he's one of my favorite coaches, and he's still an incredible offensive mind. Last year, Arkansas had an offense that was a night and day, completely different from the previous year, with a new quarterback who's never played in the SEC, with a lot of new running backs, wide receivers that had come for other reasons. Like, it was just a really solid offense. And so I feel great about him. And Travis Williams, kind of the same thing, given the cards he's dealt. He's done a great job. Arkansas's defense, it's not been perfect. There's been times it's, you know, not done well. I mean, that Ole Miss game when they broke every offensive record known to man this past season, the defense didn't play well, but they played good enough to keep you in the games. It's not been like they've just every single game you got to, all right, well, you got to spot the other team 40 points and hope the offense outscores them. It's not been that way. So I've been really happy with the coordinators. I've been really happy with the coaches overall, but it goes back to, do they have the Jimmys and Joes to make it work? Because I don't care who you are either. Like, you lost Landon Jackson this year on defense. You don't have a new Landon Jackson. You don't have a Landon Jackson that's just out in the wings, or that you went to the portal, be like, oh, well, this guy's to that level, to an NFL caliber level. You don't have that. You don't have an Andrew Armstrong, which I know he didn't get drafted. I still think he should have, but he led the SEC in receptions and receiving yards last year. He only had one touchdown, which is still incredible to think about, but you don't have that type of wide receiver on this team. You don't have a Jaquindon Jackson, who I felt like was the best running back, if not one of the best running backs in the SEC. And if he would have stayed healthy, he could have done incredible things. So you just don't have those players from a year ago. So even if I believe in the coordinators and I believe in the coaches, do they have the pieces? Do they have the toys to tinker with to make those defenses and offenses go? On paper, it's hard for me to believe that right now.
Mm-hmm. How do they acquire that talent? Is it, you know, I hate to even just give you this option, because it may be the only correct one though, but Is it hiring a new coach? And because it seems like whenever there's a new coach, there's new support, there's new donations, things of that nature. Can it even be done under Sam Pittman? Or do they have to hire a new coach, you think, to acquire the talent?
Well, that's the ultimate question I think a lot of Razorback fans struggle with, because I understand the easy answer is just to be, hey, fire coach, new coach comes in, excitement happens, which, yes, there is excitement. There is, absolutely. But if you don't have the support via NIL, via the transfer portal, all of those things financially under Sam Pittman, and if you brought in a new coach, you wouldn't have it under him either, then there's no point. Like, there's no point in really doing anything. You could have a great coach come in who's excited and ready to roll, but if you're not competing at a high level and getting talent in the NIL game, none of it matters. So I think it's gonna take a little bit of both. And I've always been a fan of Sam Pittman. I know I always have to reiterate that fact. I've been a fan of Sam Pittman. I am a fan of Sam Pittman. But you know, sometimes a new face is just needed. Sometimes a new face is there to provide the excitement. Because I'm telling you right now, I've grown up a Razorback fan my whole life. I've lived in Fayetteville pretty much my whole life. I've been going to games my whole life. I haven't missed a home game except for like two since 97. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And this upcoming football season, to me, is the one that the Razorback fans have been the least excited about that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that's depressing. It really is. So I think that there can be some changes that can be made that can really bring Arkansas to another level and make them highly competitive. But for the fans right now, it's kind of like, you've seen 5 years of Sam Pittman. You've seen it all. You know, you've already seen that. You've seen that movie before. Do you really want to see it again? Do you want to see another sequel? I think fans are kind of just wanting something different, some new energy in Fayetteville at the football program.
Mm-hmm. Well, one move the university did make was hiring a GM, but he's has more of a basketball background, right? He come from the Boston Celtics. What was your thoughts on that hire, and how could that help specifically the football program? Because I'll tell you, John, I don't know how much, you know, you're aware of the other GMs in the Southeastern Conference, but I don't know that there's another one that is going to be over the football that doesn't really, most of them come from the NFL or scouting or something like that. To me is an outlier. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just kind of curious your thoughts.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was a little curious about it too. Here's my understanding of it is that you have a GM who has had a lot of success and understanding and everything with the Boston Celtics is where he's coming from, who just won the NBA title and all of that. He wasn't the GM of there, but he's worked with GMs. And to me, if you're a GM of a major team, you can make it work in football and in baseball and in basketball or everything, because you know you're good at being able to negotiate contracts, negotiate value of where they're at. And I think that's what his main role is going to be, is evaluating the talent, looking at the market value, and seeing how much it'll cost, how much it's worth, how much you can negotiate and everything. I don't think you have to have a football side of things for that. But that's the same thing like in basketball, for instance. You don't need Remy Cofield, who's the new GM. You don't need Remy Cofield to help you with John Calipari. John Calipari will be like, I want this guy. Mr. Tyson, call him up. Dave Van Horn in baseball the same way. Dave Van Horn doesn't need a GM because Dave knows talent and there can be, you know, identifying it and everything. The main role that the GM is going to be playing is just a matter of, okay, sign these contracts, negotiate these contracts. These are the guys we want. After a year, if they're getting other offers, let's evaluate, see if we pay him more, pay him less, whatever it is. That to me is my understanding of what his main role is going to be. The scouting, the identifying talent, the everything, those are up to the coaches. It's just up to the new GM to handle it, to make sure that they're upholding their end of the bargain, to make sure that they sign those contracts, and to make sure that they renegotiate each and every year to either keep the player, move on from the player, add a player, whatever it is. And if that's the case, that's fine with me. But still, we haven't even heard from Remy Cofield. I was hoping that maybe we'd get a press conference of some sort with him. Haven't heard a peep. I don't know if we ever will, but from what I've heard and from what I understand, that's his role that he's going to play.
Mm. What's your confidence that this year's offensive line could be the best under Sam Pittman, which when they hired Sam Pittman, I think that would maybe be a bold statement, but you know, as well as anybody, that the offensive line's been largely a disappointment, even though they were better last year. But what's your confidence that they're going to be better this year?
My confidence kind of is the same as what it was a year ago, where I should change that because 2 years ago is one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. It's a matter of the potential that's there. Like, I think last year's going into it, I'm like, it could be a really good SEC offensive line. Could. But you had so many new faces that it was really hard to understand. This past year, I think the offensive line did fine. They weren't awful, but they weren't elite. You lost some major pieces of the offensive line. Like, the last year's offensive line, almost all of them are still playing college football, but not for you. Patrick Kudus went to Ole Miss. Josh Braun went to Kentucky. Addison Nichols went to SMU. And so you're having to replace all that. Luckily, you have Fernando Carmona back, which was a big keeper. And I think you did some really good things in the portal in the offensive line. But the problem is some of these guys are, they've never played. The kid from Oregon, he was a true freshman. He didn't even play. So how is he going to handle it? You got the guy from UCF who was the center last year for UCF. Is he going to step in and be that guy? Is he going to be great? Is he going to be better than Addison Nichols, who went to SMU, who was in the playoff last year? I mean, I don't know. But the potential is there. The depth is definitely there. But just given the circumstances, it's like, I don't believe there's any reason to believe that they'll be better. But I don't think there's any reason to for sure say they'll be worse. It's just about the potential. The potential is there for them to be a possible, more improved offensive line overall.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I got to ask you about Talen Green, because I'm sure you're hearing a lot of the same stuff, John. But, man, I mean, all across the sport, his name is from NFL to other SEC programs. You know, a lot of people were actually stunned he stayed at Arkansas just because of what he could have commanded in the open market. What's the expectation that, because I don't know, man, he flashed at times. I know this won't be a popular take with Arkansas fans, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of Vince Young. I think he may have that in him. Like, I think he's potentially that good. What do you think the ceiling is year two in Bobby Petrino's offense for Talen Green?
Well, if any Razorback fan takes issue for you saying that he's got a little Vince Young in him, those Razorback fans are morons, because I will take a guy who's...
Well, we're supposed to hate Texas, you know? Yeah. Hey,
listen, I can hate Texas, but it doesn't mean I can admit when they got a great player. You know, I hate right. Texas. Kevin Durant's pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I'm good with it. But no, listen, Talen Green, to me, that is the whole thing. If you're looking for positive, if you're looking for any sort of thing to lean on to feel like why this team could be just as good, maybe not, maybe even better, you got to start with, of course, keeping Petrino alongside with Talen Green. Talen Green, I love that kid. Like, he is such a good interview. He is a respectful guy. He's not, you know, he's all about the team. He is involved in the community. He's just exactly what you would want out of a college quarterback. And the fact that he is 6'6" and he does have some serious speed and he does have some really good arm strength, not to say he's perfect, but he was an incredible addition last year for Arkansas. And this was the quarterback that Bobby Petrino wanted as soon as he arrived on campus. And so I'm assuming that whatever it took to keep him at Arkansas, Arkansas did, whether it was making sure that he had his NIL, making sure that, you know, whatever it is, they made sure that he stayed. Because I think that is important to have that retention, to have the coordinator quarterback combo stick together. And he's got all the attributes. I mean, he's truly a gifted athlete. And I think with some offseason, with some adjusting, he can continue to get better. He's got to stay healthy, which I know that was times last year. It's every quarterback. It's every player. But he's got to stay healthy. But I really have enjoyed watching him. I really hope he has a big season. I just hope that they've surrounded him enough with some pieces to make him just as good, if not better, than what he was a year ago. But yeah, if I'm going to be asked, hey, Why would Arkansas be a good team this year? Like, what can you tell us about that? I'm starting with Talen Green, as I think he was just like some other Razorback players, maybe underrated, undervalued last year in the SEC. And I think that having him back is going to be crucial, because if he wasn't coming back, if they were having to go with some unknown quarterback or a guy that no one was sure about, sheesh, it'd be really tough for anybody to feel confident about anything. But getting Talen Green back was huge.
Mm-hmm. And if there's one game that you could, not that you're outright predicting this, because not anyone that I knew was predicting that they beat Tennessee, but I'm just wondering where's the next Tennessee? And by that, I mean the most unexpected upset that is at least somewhat realistic that you think Arkansas can pull off this fall.
Man, here's the deal. Is it so weird last year and in previous years, for some reason, other than that Tennessee game, Arkansas plays their worst games at home. I don't know why. Like, it was so weird last year that they did that. But who knows, maybe something can change. That road schedule is one of the most brutal in the country.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is your home games, you're not really going to be going up against, at least in SEC play, any like elite high caliber ones. Notre Dame to me is the best chance. And I think, I'm not going to say Arkansas is going to win it, but to me, Arkansas plays better early midpoint of the season. It's right before their bye week. And, you know, I don't know what Notre Dame is going to look like specifically. I know they're going to be good, but if Arkansas navigates through and say they're 3-1 heading into that Notre Dame game with a loss to Ole Miss, I feel good about it. I mean, I feel confident that there's a chance they could have it happen. And then besides that, maybe Texas A&M. Because that game's going to be in Fayetteville for the first time forever. Finally got rid of that stupid thing in Arlington. Right. So, you know, that might be a good chance at it. But the road games, I just don't see any way that you win any of those SEC road games. I just don't see it happening. Your best chance in that may be Ole Miss, but they put it to you last year. So who knows? But yeah, to me, Notre Dame, maybe Texas A&M is the best chance.
I was really hoping you'd say Missouri, but maybe that's not even an upset at that point in time. All right, last thing for you, John. Really appreciate your time. But we've been asking everybody this just because I love this question. But let's assume, which it's not a given, but let's assume that the SEC goes to a 9-game conference slate and they stick with that model to where every team will have 3 permanent opponents and then rotate the other 6. Who, if they were asking John Neighbors, who is Arkansas getting 3 times a year? You get to pick them. Who do you want to see Arkansas play 3 times or annually, essentially, you know,
man. Okay. I'll give you 2 answers. I'll give you the one that I think makes sense, most sense for Arkansas and the Razorbacks. And I'll give you an answer that I personally would love. If it's for the Razorbacks, I believe Texas, Ole Miss and LSU would be the ones, mainly Texas because of the historical purposes, LSU because a lot of Razorback fans still love that golden boot. And Ole Miss, because that game is always insane. There's always insane things happening. This last year wasn't that insane, but there's always fireworks and they're pretty even. Even in the years that Arkansas struggled, like there's been some even back and forth. So to me, that would be the best for them. But if it's my personal one, I still want to have Texas every year. Personally, I want Oklahoma because Arkansas and Fayetteville, it's not like they're close to any campuses. They have not been. But Oklahoma's 3 hours away. Norman's 3 hours away. It would be nice to finally just have a place where you can just go and have a day trip to go to a game and not have to, you know, make a whole weekend out of it. Personally, I'd love to see that. And also Arkansas and Oklahoma, at least from my understanding, I don't know if they've ever played in the regular season. If they had, it was like back in the World War II. So I'd like to see that. And I'd also like to see the continued deal with Ole Miss because it is fun. It is entertaining. And Oxford's not too far away either. And I think that both programs would be okay with that. So, but let's be honest, it's never going to happen. Arkansas is going to get stuck with Missouri no matter what. So we just got to roll with that no matter what. But if it was up to me, that's what I would go with.
The only thing better than Arkansas and Ole Miss on the field is the pettiness between those two social media teams when one beats the other. You know, it's to another level.
Oh, yeah. And like everybody wants to know, everyone's going to hear about it. And at least that's something that can be appreciated. But yeah, I actually like the Arkansas Ole Miss. I don't want to call it a rivalry because people freak out, but it's like I like the games that they've had because some of the most memorable games that Arkansas had has been in those moments, and they're very comparable when it comes to their history, traditions, size, all that stuff. So yeah, I think that game has to stay. Texas has to stay, and then the other one I can hear other arguments on.
Yeah. All right, John, I really appreciate your time. Before you go, can you tell my audience how to follow you and how to find all your work?
Yeah, you can check out Inside Arkansas. You can go to our website, InsideArkansas.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube page. We have a daily show each and every day. It's starting at noon, Inside Arkansas Live. We also do basketball, football, baseball-specific podcasts with those as well. We also have our website, social media, anything Inside Arkansas, and also Locked On Razorbacks. Still the number one Razorback podcast in the world, as I'm going to hold on to that as long as I can. But yeah, you can follow that on wherever podcasts are found. Lots of stuff and lots of content that I'm trying to make up as I go to try to make this football team seem interesting and entertaining. So, but yeah, we got a lot of stuff that we can do, a lot of fun that we can have. But yeah, be sure to follow us. It's a lot of fun right now.
Yeah, and I can't recommend the audience enough, all the Razorback fans out there. When something breaking happens, John and his Inside Arkansas crew, I mean, within moments, they're online doing a live reaction, with whether it's a Madden hit the portal or a basketball commit or something crazy like that. They do a hell of a job, so can't recommend them enough. But